Forget the machinations. In Congress, there is a constitutional argument brewing which claims the president has sole authority over the nation's debt. In a public interview with Politico's Mike Allen in May, Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner reached into his jacket pocket and brandished a copy of the Constitution.
Can I read you the 14th Amendment?
We'll stipulate to the 14th Amendment.
No, I want to read this one thing.
It's paperclipped in his...
The validity of the public debt of the United States authorized by law, including debts incurred for the payments of pension and bounties for services in suppressing insurrection or rebellion, this is the important thing, shall not be questioned.
Some legal scholars have joined the fray, saying the 14th Amendment does indeed put the country's debt obligations beyond the reach of Congress. One Republican Senate leader called that crazy talk. And today at his Twitter town hall meeting, President Obama swatted down the idea.
I don't think we should even get to the constitutional issue. Congress has a responsibility to make sure we pay our bills. We've always paid them in the past. The notion that the U.S. is going to default on its debt is just irresponsible.
We're going to entertain that constitutional issue now with Jeffrey Rosen, a professor of law at the George Washington University. Jeffrey, thanks for coming in.
Good to be here.
We're talking about Section 4 of the 14th Amendment, the Debt Clause, adopted in 1868, so the Reconstruction period after the Civil War. What was the intent? What was this clause designed to do?
So this is a time when Southern congressmen are coming back into the Union. Their majorities are augmented because of the freed slaves. And they are interested in forcing Congress to repudiate the Union debt and to pay off the Confederate debt. And they also want to give the nation a big bill for what they claimed was the value of the slaves that had been freed by the Emancipation Proclamation and the 13th Amendment. So the existing Republican majority was determined that they not be able to do this, and they passed Section 4 in the 14th Amendment to prohibit a temporary political majority from repudiating the Union debt obligations and assuming other obligations.
So at the time that this was approved, back in 1868, repudiation referred to what exactly?
After the Civil War, repudiation would have been a formal act by Congress saying, we are not going to pay the Union debt. That's not what's going on here. The big debate now is, would a default or a threat to default be the equivalent of repudiation? Strict construction to say no, unless Congress formally says we are never going to pay the debt, then this constitutional provision is not triggered. The Democrats who support this constitutional argument say, in effect, if you threaten not to pay obligations, that's the functional equivalent of a default, and therefore the Constitution is implicated.
Has there been case law on this, Jeffrey, this question, this language in the 14th Amendment that the validity of the public debt of the United States shall not be questioned?
There's just one Supreme Court case that seems to cast light on this question. It was called Perry versus United States. It was decided in 1935. And in that case, the Supreme Court seemed to argue that this debt clause should be interpreted broadly rather than narrowly. And supporters are seizing on that language to say we should not construe the debt clause strictly, but instead should construe it expansively.
And that would support their argument that you could apply it in this case.
Exactly so.
All of this, do you think, just a lot of grist for constitutional scholars, 14th Amendment scholars in particular, and no real political reality?
It could have political consequences. We shouldn't for a moment dismiss the possibility that serious constitutional arguments about clauses that haven't been thought of for a long time can transform political debates. In Bush v. Gore, in the health care argument, these are all cases where the constitutional arguments were made up on the fly. But that doesn't mean that they're not plausible. The truth is that the situation today is similar, although not identical, to the one that confronted the nation right after the Civil War. And the arguments on both sides are strong, plausible, and deserve to be debated in the public arena.
Okay. Jeffrey Rosen, again, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much for having me.
Jeffrey Rosen, professor of law at the George Washington University.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.